One. What's up? The world's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I'm the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. And I have a very fun episode to present to you. We have a great tweet cap, and let's talk about what's going on in this crazy world we live in here in the first week of April 2024 with Larry. All right. So today's show, it's a full house for today. Ryan's here. What's up, Ryan?
How's it going, Matt?
What's up, Ryan? We have Kara returning. How was your trip, Kara?
It was good. The person I went to cheer on lost, but they made it further than they were seated, so.
Oh, well, excellent. Effort is amazing to see. Kevon's back from last week. What's up, Kevon?
Yo, what's going on? I'm here once again.
So happy to see you. And Aaron McGoldrick, back from a little hiatus herself. Great to see you, Aaron.
Hey, how are you? You said my name wrong.
All right. Just one thing. If anyone could just put their... We have a little echo going real quick, so if everyone can just turn their mic on and off, and then we should be all set. But besides that, all right, it's gone. So thank you for whoever fixed that. I'll hear a little bit, but we will fix it as the show continues. All right, everybody. It seems we're all good. We fixed our technical issues. So thank you for bearing with us there. But we've had another fun week in the books. So let's talk all about it. And one thing we could talk about to begin this show is the rise of women's basketball, specifically women's college basketball. And there is somebody named Caitlin Clark, I'm sure you've heard of her, who has taken the sport by storm. And in her Elite Eight game, where her school, the University of Iowa, took on LSU, the LSU Lady Tigers, they had a rating of 12.3. So about 12 million people checked in for this game. And why that's significant, that is a higher rating than any NBA game at all, except one NBA Finals game, all of MLB, all of the NHL. And it seems that you could seriously talk about where women's basketball is going. First of all, we're all aware of Caitlin Clark and her presence.
Oh, yeah. Caitlin Clark's a huge deal right now.
Oh, yeah.
No idea, per usual.
I just, I don't follow basketball at all, but I go on TikTok like once a day, and I see like solid 5 to 10 fucking TikToks about her every single day.
Yeah, she's a marketing student, and it shows. She's gotten herself all over.
I can see. All right. So with the rise of this, and now she's literally getting ratings higher than 3 out of the 4 major sports leagues. You know, NFL is in its own other hemisphere. So, but taking out the other three is pretty impressive. And I guess my question we have to ask, do we feel that this huge rating in women's college basketball is because of Caitlin Clark specifically? Or do you think it's the actual women's college basketball product growing?
I think it can be both. But I don't know that we would see the rating that we saw for that game. I mean, honestly, even with Caitlin Clark, that was a rematch from last year, obviously. But Caitlin Clark having that rematch against LSU is, I think, a huge part of why so many people turned in. And I don't think you can ignore that when talking about the rating that they pulled and how impressive it was. But me personally, I think that.
I think if there's ever going to be a time for like women's sports to get big, it'll probably be in our generation.
Yeah.
That, like on the same wave, like women's basketball in general, I think that, like introductory kind of sport to it, like that's like pretty known at this point, but it's not like women's soccer isn't really as generally known as women's basketball would be, I feel like.
Yeah, and what's interesting about this tournament, like the March Madness being this tournament that it is for the women's side at least, it's very kind of like by rote, which I think is also helping. You know who the big games are against, Whereas in the men's side, any game could be a big game. Any game could be an upset. It's just a lot more chaotic over there. Like, there's an 11 seed in the Final Four. So, yeah, I think that having a solid star on a solid team, and again, playing against another solid team that they have history with, I think that made all the difference in terms of the rating. But I guess to the original question is, you know, it is college. Caitlin Clark will eventually graduate. Do we think this viewership stays on college ball? And it's just college, women's college basketball is growing in popularity. Or when Caitlin Clark inevitably gets to the pros, do we think that that is the venue where all of the eyeballs that we just saw are going to shift to watch her play there? Is it really Caitlin specific?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Because, like, I don't know. I feel like it just needed one star to kind of, like, pull eyes to it in a way, you know? And I feel like once she moves over there, unless, like, college basketball gets someone that can live up to that a little bit more, then the hype just won't be as pulling.
Yeah, it's all about the characters. We all like characters, and Caitlin Clark is a major character right now. We need more of that. Like UConn's Paige Breckers. Angel Reese was Caitlin Clark's arch nemesis. He was her joker. And now they're one-on-one against each other. And I think having that appeal kind of helps as well.
She's kind of like a shonen protagonist.
Well, I feel like like a parallel of a similar dynamic that would kind of like negate that. John Tavares on the Islanders. I'm an Islanders fan, so like I know. like he pulled that fucking team. Like Brock Nelson, and like I remember his last season was what's his face? The guy, not Beauvillier, but Barzal. It was Barzal's first season when it was Tavares' last season, and they were like a power fucking couple together, and like they moved. But once JT went to the Maple Leafs, nobody gave a fuck about him anymore. Like nobody watches him like that. At least
he also played the Islanders too. Yeah. Thought he was going to resign.
And I feel like that would kind of parallel to her. Like, would her fan base move? I'm not so sure. I mean, at the same time, like, he did kind of screw the Islanders really bad.
Oh, yeah. And this, the main difference is she'd be leaving, like, the school. So, like, you know, students. Yeah.
You can't guarantee that. I don't know.
No, I don't think you can either. That's why she's got all that name and licensing money to fall back on. And she's smart. She's cashing in on sponsorship, because that's where her money is going to be. She can make a lot of it very quickly and become very wealthy.
And then buy a house in cash. Buy it in cash.
If anyone can do it, it's probably, you know, if any college basketball star can do it right now, on the women's side anyway, it's probably her. So,
yeah, she is the highest scorer in the history of college basketball, both men's and women's. And there's something to that, and it's really exciting to see what happens for her future there. And yeah, that's just the real question. It looks like the Indiana Fever would be the team that would draft her. You know, Indiana, great basketball heritage anyways. And we just have to see if people tune in during the summer for her.
That's actually really helpful, because they're local. I mean, local-ish. She's from the Midwest. That's why she went to Iowa, apparently, because Iowa wasn't a top program, but they were close by, and that swayed her decision a lot. So going to Indiana, I think that would actually mean a lot of her fans would stick around. It's not like, you know, she went to school in Iowa and then start playing in, you know, Miami, which is, you know, a totally different culture, totally different fan base. There'd be overlap.
The Definitely American a lot of overlap.
Team has failed me, because where the fuck is Iowa in relation to Indiana? Because I feel like Iowa.
I have a map of the United States in front of me, and
Iowa's next to Illinois ish. Yeah. So it's in that general area of like Illinois, Indiana, Iowa,
it's like
Minnesota.
Left corner.
No, I was like up. So if you look at the center of the map, it's like up and slightly over.
I'm thinking of Idaho's
in the corner. Yeah.
Okay, never mind. All right.
Idaho, Iowa, same thing, right?
My bad.
But the big thing here is Caitlin Clark. We all know her. She's big enough where we all can have a little conversation, and she is fun to watch. 41 points in that Elite Eight game. And
not a ton of help either.
No, not really.
Yeah, I saw some of the shots. Like,
she's kind of doing it on her own.
But she's ultimately a lot of fun to watch, and we'll see what the next phase of her career is. Now, just one second.
Almost.
All right, we're back. All right, few little technical difficulties again, but we fixed some great stuff from everybody. All right, so let's talk about Lizzo. Guess what? She had a funny week. Lizzo made a post on X earlier in the week saying that she left music, that she was quitting, she was over the BS. She's gone. You know, everybody had fun with that. But then she came back. She made a statement. She clarified what she said exactly. So she says here, thanks to our friends at Pop Base, Lizzo clarifies what she meant with her I quit post. She said, quote, "When I say I quit, I mean I quit giving any negative energy attention. What I'm not going to quit is the joy of my life, which is making music." And that got a mixed reaction, if you will. Some people were very happy she quit. Some people were very sad, and then some people were glad she's back. I know Lizzo, definitely when she went on the scene, she was a lot of fun, but there was then some controversy with her and her dancers making her doing very gross things. But it seems very much a polarized reaction of the return of Lizzo. So what do you think about this and why she's going back and forth? First, we'll start with Kevon. How do you feel about Lizzo and about this whole story?
Yeah, I mean, with those allegations that they made against her, it was bound to happen, dude. Like, from all these, remember all these recent celebrities that we heard that, like, they were, like, horrible to, like, the people that worked for them? And yes. I just think it's just her time came, and that's just it.
I mean, I don't even know what she's been accused of. I don't know, like, anything about her except for, like, a shit post I'll see every now and then, but...
She plays the flute. Ryan, why don't you break it
down? Oh, yeah. I've seen the flute videos.
The flute videos?
Yeah.
I mean, this whole thing made me laugh, because though she didn't mean she was quitting the negativity. No, she meant, I'm quitting music. It's plain as day. And then no one cared. Let's just be clear. No one really cared. I'm sure she's got
fans. I second that.
Yeah, some people probably cared somewhere. But the vast majority of people online were just, she's like, I quit. They're like, okay. And then she looked around and no one cared. She's like, well, then I unquit. Because she was mad that nobody was mad that she was quitting. This is such a backpedal. It's insane. But you know what? I mean, I like the music, to be honest with you. So I guess it's fine. This doesn't... obviously absolve any of the allegations. I mean, just so everyone knows, I won't get into too much, but her backup dancers have accused her of being pretty nasty to them. And we won't go into any more details for other reasons, but that's not changing, right? So I don't know what this served.
It's like, do you have anyone on Facebook who every once in a while will post, I'm sick of this, deleting all my social media, and then they're posting again like 2 hours later, like nothing happened.
Yeah. Right, and it's because no one cared. It's because we don't need to see the 900th conspiracy theory post on your Facebook. You could just delete it and we'd be fine. And so that's exactly what this is. Because, again, the idea that she's going to cancel out negativity, how? You're still being accused of being horrendous. like that's not changing. Social media is a place where negativity thrives. You know, I say this to someone who does this literally every week. That's not changing. So what part of the negativity are you changing, Lizzo? You've made no changes to anything. It was a backpedal, and it was a very funny backpedal. But I'm glad it happened because it made me laugh. So
why men great till they gotta be great, I guess she once said. And
great song.
But yeah, we didn't miss you, and we're not going to miss you, and we're not going to miss you when you're in front of us. Or I should say, we're not going to care if you know what I mean.
She played James Madison's flute, by the way, his crystal flute, when she was in D.C. That was a very big deal. It was a bit divisive at the time, but I thought that was actually kind of cool, because, I mean, no, he's not using it. So Glad that she got to use it, and it was big for DC when she was here. Like, people were really excited about that part of the concert. So again, I don't dislike Lizzo, but this is a backtrack. That's all this was.
I do.
On the whole flute thing, I think that's pretty dope. Like, I played flute like from like being a kid. Like, I was a music kid, and like I played it for years. So I think it's pretty cool because there's actually some really cool music out there incorporating flute. And I feel like
I saw a video on TikTok of a lady doing flute beatboxing yesterday.
Yeah, people do that. People do like reggae with flute, which is really cool.
Well, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, no, reggae's fun, but like doing with flute's even better. Yeah,
Andre 3000 has a flute album too. Anyone hear that? I'm not kidding.
No comment on that.
The rapper Andre 3000 has a flute album, and I have listened to it.
There was like, let me actually find it. There was like old school rap that I found back in the day, and it was like early 2000s, and it was like all flute, and I was like.
Flute and rap. We talked about
the beat, like, but it was like it was so fast that it was like impressive that the guy was playing flute so clean to it. I have to find it. The name was.
I guess
like,
it's not Lizzo though.
No, it wasn't Lizzo.
No,
can't be. 2000s is not Lizzo, but
okay. The artist was Bus Driver, and the song was called Imaginary Places, and it's really fucking dope.
Well, we will look out for the great Bus Driver and see where he goes. But Lizzo, good job getting your name relevant for 15 minutes. But yeah, whatever. That's all. Like, who cares? All right. Moving on, though, to actually another rapper, right? So I'm about to play you a clip. Very, very interesting clip, am I right? So let me just get this show really quick. It's called The Bus Driver Show. No, I'm kidding. Okay. So, a new show debuted on HBO on March 29th, last weekend, right? It's called Gerard Carmichael's Reality Show, right? Everybody know the stand-up comedian Gerard Carmichael?
No.
Ever heard of him?
No.
Well, you're about to learn from him anyways. So, the purpose of the show is Gerard Carmichael navigates friends, family, and strangers in his quest for love, sex, and connection. So, well, it's basically broke down. Have you ever seen The Truman Show?
Yeah.
So he said, this is basically my Truman Show. So we're basically just following. It's just a life, just a reality TV show, the life of Gerard Carmichael on HBO. And actually watch it. I watched these shows, and it's a great show, actually. It's a very, very good show. I think a lot of people are interested in it. But Gerard Carmichael ran into quite an awkward moment that not only he had to endure, but we all had to witness it. So let me play you this clip from the Gerard Carmichael reality show, and we can break down what exactly happened here. So if you're all ready, let's do it. Here we go.
Friend, 1 out of 10, don't recommend.
All right, let me start from the beginning. Here is him talking about falling in love with his best friend. And just to be clear, Gerard is part of the LGBTQ community. All right, so here we go.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, let's break this down.
I fell in love with my best friend. 1 out of 10, don't recommend. I knew I had to tell him. Things started getting kind of weird between us. I had like these feelings. So I texted him. I remember saying, I know you didn't ask for this, but somewhere down the line, I developed feelings for you, and I don't know what to do with that. And then I immediately turned my phone off and I went into therapy. My therapist was thrilled. He was so excited. He was like, man, this shit never happens in real time. My friend, he sent me a voice note. It was like 6 seconds. He said, ha ha ha, you stupid bitch.
What? You laughed and called me a stupid bitch.
I did. Yeah, I did. I did.
This man is so unserious.
And I don't really know what that means.
All right, so you could hear the clip. Gerard Carmichael professed his love to rapper Tyler, the Creator, if you could hear him. And he confirmed the story to be true and was all caught on camera. So, few things to discuss here. Number one, I'm sure we've all been in an experience where we felt some type of way about somebody, maybe someone we were close to, and we told our true feelings. And sometimes it worked out, and a lot of times it didn't. But, you know, the only thing this time, it's part of his reality show for us all to witness, right? So, pretty awkward moment there. And another thing, as Kevon mentioned, Tyler, the Creator, is unserious. He probably is literally the most unserious person to ever live. Despite that being one of the best rappers out there and just an amazing performer. And, yeah, I could bet Gerard Carmichael to say that, but, you know, it's tough to have that on camera, I'm sure. He was setting up for that, but what an awkward exchange, am I right?
I mean, I thought that sounded exactly like Tyler. I don't really know. I can't imagine him sending back like a heartfelt message, trying to like turn him down and say, I really appreciate it, but unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
So that just seems a lot more in character.
If I were getting like rejected, I'd rather you laugh at me.
Yeah. I mean, if you're confessing to like a super close friend, I'd much rather they go, you dumb idiot, you lol, you like me, haha, and then move on, versus making it more awkward by getting sentimental with it, you know, like if they're gonna say no either way, right?
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even do it. In my mind, I'm like, no, I don't want laughing at me, but I guess you're right. If it's a friend, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to lose a friendship, it's probably way better for you to if you say that to a friend and they're like, you know, what? Like, but like they make a joke about it, than if they get all serious about it, because then definitely there'll be some tension. So as you're saying, I'm coming around to agree. I mean, obviously, well, yeah, super
like
awkward,
like seeing like clips of how like Tyler just like behaves with people in general, I feel like that's just how he was in the friendship. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just being normal about it and like laughing it off and saying, you like me. Oh my God. You idiot. Why would you do that? And then moving on is just way better than, you know, getting deep with it.
Right. Especially if it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I heard with the astrology, somebody I saw break this down. Someone said that Gerard had Pisces energy and, Tyler had fucking he's born in March hey, March 6th, Aries.
No, so he would wait, Gerard or Tyler?
Tyler's born on March 6th.
So he's
He's what?
He's a Pisces.
Okay, so he's the Pisces, and Gerard's born April 6th. Oh, shit. That's 2 days from... That's when the day before, after this drops.
He would be an Aries. Okay.
So does that match up, having that type of reaction to somebody? You could see in the video, he was genuinely upset.
Opposite would be... Okay, it would make sense if Gerard were the Pisces and Tyler were the Aries, because Aries don't take shit seriously, and they're, like, really sarcastic and, like... funny, but like they forget that people have feelings. And Pisces, like they're like head. Okay, I always say Pisces are living in a reality that nobody else is living in. Only like that is the most Pisces shit to do, to be a gay man, to fall in love with a straight guy. Like, what an
unreal. Well, they both are in the LGBTQ community, right?
Oh, wait, yeah. Really? I don't know anything. Yeah. I don't know anything.
Yeah, Tyler's bi, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a lot different then.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
I don't think it was totally up the wrong tree, other than obviously Tyler was, you know.
Yeah, Tyler's exact quote is, I'm gay as fuck.
Yeah.
It's a real quote.
I mean, some of his songs also gently allude to it. Yeah. I love my boyfriend's like super into Tyler, and he used to listen to him in high school, and he said it weeded out some of his like friends who used to be friends who turned out to be homophobic when he like started talking about like sucking dick and stuff in his songs.
That's a good way to do that, actually. I didn't think of that. It's like just a little
weed the crop of friends, yeah.
Well, still, regardless, though, I guess if you're Gerard, you kind of knew the person you were dealing with, and having the cameras on it too, you know? I mean, just is what it is. It's part of the show. Got people talking. Here we are, you know?
I think it all worked out for him just fine.
Yeah, and I mean, he probably put it in there because he knows it's pretty entertaining. Like, it's a good response. Or it's a funny response, at least.
That'll also get you Tyler fame, too.
Yeah.
You get people talking about that,
All right, let's transition from some music, and let's actually talk about some tech, right? Here we are, everybody. You've seen the movie iRobot. It's about to come true. So a report here from CNBC, Apple reportedly exploring personal home robots. Apple's exploring the development of personal home robots after ditching its electric vehicle project, Bloomberg reported on Wednesday. Engineers have been looking into a robot that can follow the users around their homes, as well as their tabletop device that uses robotics to adjust a display screen, Bloomberg reported, citing people familiar with the research team. And this is a result of them canceling their electric vehicle project. So, really, isn't it funny? Oh, the robots are going to come. And they are made by our most popular company, tech company in the world. So who's excited to have your Apple robot? You're going to get it when it comes out?
I don't like sidekicks and familiars. Like in any video game I play, I hate playing like druids or like hunters. Anyone that has like a summon. I don't want a summon following me around in real life. That's going to be annoying.
Well, like, okay. Let me tell you about a mission, right? I'm on like a life mission here. In Mario Party, the Switch version, you can have allies, and I am mission to have Bowser and Baby Bowser allied together. I've never gotten it, but I just really want it because I feel like it'll be really cute. Because you said that. Anyway, technology is terrifying.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would only really start being concerned about this if like it would depend on the like the kind of AI specifically, like the hardware, it's like whatever. I think the AI is the way scarier part, depending on like how far that's going. But like if it's just a robot that doesn't have like super sophisticated AI that's like just doing tasks for you that it's programmed to do, I think that's fine. I wouldn't use it personally, but I don't really think it's scary until you start getting into the like AI aspect.
No, I know what's scary about it.
What? Yeah.
It's the iRobot. Straight up, their phones are iPhones. Their pads are iPads. They make a robot. It is iRobot. Well, that's the name of the robot, and that's the name of the movie. The robots break bad.
Yeah, I'm that is saying, yeah true.
Too on the nose. Too a
little
on
too
the
candy.
Nose. You gotta call it Mac or something. You gotta do something, but not they use iMac. There's you gotta find a new name. iRobot
like MacBot.
Sure, they cannot release a robot called iRobot. The sales will be abysmal. No one will buy the iRobot because everyone has seen the movie where iRobot is a problem.
Well, and also, like, I would be really concerned anything coming out of Apple like that, though, because Apple technology compared to any other, like I have a Mac, right? But if it's for an Android, like an Android is a lot harder to break than an Apple. Like iPhones are not secure. We are not secure. Like I do not want a robot with iPhone technology existing because somebody could hack that real quick. I'm not trying to die in the middle of the night because like I broke someone's heart and they're too smart. You know, like I feel like that would happen.
Yeah, that's also a good point. I remember watching a video on like the security systems between Apple and Android, and I don't remember why, but yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not as
But don't
safe.
You want somebody to get you your coffee in the morning, your water, your clothes?
I got legs.
Yeah.
Well, that's where the robot's for.
I'm a strong woman. I don't need a robot. Like
are we trying to become like the fucking Wall-E people?
Yeah, I don't want that. We
it's coming.
Do you all think that if you have an Android and you try and text your robot commands, it shows up as a green text bubble?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw there was a lawsuit regarding that, like
the green,
antitrust
the green
ones.
Bubbles?
Yeah, that they're making that they can't do that. I don't know, but regardless, it's just so weird that what we predicted, exactly what our fears with this technology, they're just doing it anyways.
Devon, what would you use your iRobot for?
Nothing.
I would just beat it and put it in a corner.
Yeah. I'm curious. Yeah. I feel like I'm guessing, but out of everyone in here, I feel like you're the most likely to you to get have an iRobot someday.
Domo Oriato, Mr. Roboto.
Wait, who would be Matt?
No, Kevon. That's why I was like, what would you use your iRobot for? Because I feel like you
what
would
use... I use my iRobot for?
Yeah.
A good question.
Oh, I'd get it to do my taxes. That's probably it.
Yeah, that's a smart way to do it.
If it like, can
yeah, get it to like do taxes for me, like put away my groceries, little things like that, maybe.
But do a robot dance.
Yeah, I'd make it just dance in a corner.
Dance.
Yeah, I'm a pretty active person, so I like to do stuff myself, pretty hands on. So I don't think I'd really use it like that. It'd just be there.
Yeah. I prefer system? Doing my own cooking. I don't mind sweeping and doing my chores and whatever. So I think like maybe there's like
I wouldn't want to be poisoned things. By my robot.
Nobody can close and organize my fridge better than I can.
Yeah, that's a good point. I get so irritated when like one little thing in my fridge is out of place.
I have a system. I have it neatly placed. I can see everything. I can't trust the robot to get it done right.
I share a fridge with my mother-in-law, and she really, really likes leaving wide open meat that's been like on the counter for 2 days, just like on top of my veggies. And I just
That's when you have iRobot take the meat and throw it out.
I'll put a sensor, a raw meat sensor, on them.
I'll just have the robot do cool tricks, like dance and stuff. Do the robot.
I played pickleball the other day and I actually really enjoyed
it. With the robot?
So, no, with the purple people. But I might get a pickleball robot so that way I don't have to have friends come every time I want to play.
I'll teach my robot. I'll teach my robot how to play League of Legends so that I'll always have one person on my team that I can depend on. Because I'll be telling it what to do. I'll say like I'll send it jungle. I'll be like, you gotta come help my lane nonstop.
I mean, I don't know. I think this is like we're talking. This is great now. I see absolutely no reality where the iRobot becomes a real thing.
Yeah,
I'm just putting it out there. Like as much as we're joking about it, this is not going to work. Apple's going to fail, as they were going to fail making an electric car. By the way, a phone is. We have very smart phones, hence the name. It's very different to build a phone than it is to build a car or a humanoid robot.
And I feel like very very specific tasks like a Roomba or whatever the hell.
Sure,
like
yeah.
That's yeah. It more comes down to like how much AI you're trying to incorporate into it, and then yeah, like that's when it becomes more dangerous in a way, I guess. And also like how easily hackable it is and what it's capable of doing if it was hacked.
Yeah. No way. No way Apple makes this robot anytime soon.
Yeah, not anytime soon, at least. Maybe in the future, not right now.
Cross that bridge when we get there. But one thing that is definitely happening in the near future is the solar eclipse. Hear this, everybody. On this Monday, April 8th, mark your calendars, a total solar eclipse will sweep across North America, blocking out the sun momentarily for millions of viewers along a path stretching from northern Mexico to Maine. And this hasn't happened since 2017, and it's not going to happen again until 2044. So depending where you are actually going to see a solar eclipse. It's pretty much going to turn daylight into dusk and dawn. Nothing too crazy, nothing to be freaked out about, but it's cool. And you can get your cardboard. You get like a cardboard telescope to look right at it so it doesn't hurt your eyes, or you get that stuff at the gas station. It's pretty cool. I know it's going to be in my path.
Yeah.
I know the tri-state area.
You know, the eye hurt thing when I was younger, I used to get pissed off that I wasn't supposed to look at the sun. So now I have really bad eyes because I used to just stare directly at the sun to just like stick it to the man. So I think I could look at an eclipse. That'd be fine. I don't need the box. I'm already desensitized.
Yeah.
Ryan, is it coming towards you? Will you be able to see it?
Someone told me it's going to have like 80% visibility. I looked at the path and we're not on the path. So I don't know where these folks are saying there's 80% visibility. I don't know how do you 80% see an eclipse? Either it's light or it's dark, but So jury's still out, but I'm not on the direct path down here.
Yeah, just
I'm
say
in
right
B, I'm in BC, and I'm pretty sure in Canada it's only going through Ontario, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's going this way. The last one went down this way, so maybe the 2017 yeah. one was up by you.
I'm going, here's the path. I have the path for you right here. Let me just pull this up. Thank you to, now it's mostly, it is mostly through the United States. It looks like we get the full picture when they feel like letting me show. All right, here it is. All right, here's where the eclipse is going to be and the time. These damn ads. All right. I don't care about your free articles. All right. Here is the solar eclipse, the path of it. So as you can see right here. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. No oh, way.
This is going to miss. Wait, they told us it's going to be here. Wait.
Yeah, I was going to hit Long Island. I thought 90% visibility.
It's me. Not even, it's going through like PEI. Who lives on Prince Edward Island? That's like the, it looks like New Brunswick, Newfoundland, and like PEI, the Maritimes. I don't
I'm
going to
look
maybe,
for a better one.
Maybe people in Toronto could see it a little
a better
bit.
One that has Connecticut on it.
Well,
my mom.
Which
is,
funny.
I'll say this, Matt. My mom is actually going to New York for the day to see it. I'll put that out there.
Look at this. Yeah, this isn't going
to Canada. So fucking Buffalo.
I like this one better, but yeah, this is fortunately. Carl,
well, screw me,
I
guess.
It.
Well, it's not like I like if I was to drive across the country in Ontario, it'd still be like 30-hour drive anyway. So.
Ryan, it doesn't look like it's touching you at all. This
no
man, just well, it's stupid, right?
Well, I was told 80%. I don't know. Again, I don't know how you can 80% see it turn dark. So I'm assuming
like it just wouldn't be like a full coverage of the moon. It would only be
yeah. That's why I'm assuming it's not going to be particularly spectacular down by me.
And so some lucky places: Little Rock, Arkansas. Get excited! Erie, Pennsylvania; Akron, Ohio, the home of LeBron; Buffalo, Rocky.
Rocky, yep. Actually, I have some other friends that are not Rocky who are going up just near Syracuse, New York, to see it as well. So
Plattsburgh, Burlington, Vermont, as you said, the Prince Edward Island, no one cares about.
Wow,
Waco,
it's
Texas.
It's got nice colored buildings.
Austin, Texas, so Joe Rogan could see it.
It's good. We wanted to make sure Joe could see it.
And so. Dallas will be able to see it.
Mark Cuban too.
I guess so there, but yeah, this I thought. Well, the Yankee game got postponed from 2 o'clock to 6 p.m. for this, and they're doing it for no reason. Just another one of the many reasons why baseball likes to
well,
just make themselves.
Well, I mean,
look like
I'm cool. They're like close enough that a lot of yeah. people are going to make the drive.
Yeah, traffic
like,
is up
to the Bronx. You want to go? I don't think. Trust me, Yankee fans are not that patient to do such a thing.
No,
but
other people will be driving through to get there. Yeah. I know, like, so just as a little side note, I have a friend who works in the Buffalo-ish area, and the county that he works for has put out a state of emergency for Monday. Because,
what?
Well, so, because they're in the
Because the moon's coming, and then the aliens are going to come.
Relax,
close
man,
the counter
relax,
the 30
man.
Guy.
I know your conspiracy mind takes off. No, relax. Because it's a county of like 40,000 people, and they're expecting an additional 90,000 people who are coming to see it from other places around that are not in the path. So they have no infrastructure, like the roads are going to be full. There's going to be no room at like hotels. There's going to be nowhere. Like people are going to be just standing on the side of the road.
Standing there.
Yeah, I've seen so much like conspiracy posting about it. Like,
oh, yeah, no.
What do all these states of emergency mean? What is going to happen during this eclipse? Like, yeah.
The state of emergency is because a county of 40,000 people is going to have to host, you know, 130,000 people for like a day, and they don't know how they're going to do it. So they're like, well, I don't know. So, but yeah, so if you're in the path, it's going to be something special, even if you don't want to see it, just all of the people flocking to your hometown to stare at the sky for like 2 minutes. I think it'd be really funny to see Airbnbs along that band that you just showed us, Matt, have completely booked up. There's a map of that somewhere.
Just, I don't, this isn't supposed to last that long either. Isn't it only going to
no,
be like 20 minutes?
Yeah, people are taking the day off and getting Airbnbs for the weekend to see, you know, 10 minutes.
Now, this is when you have to, this is, you were saying, Aaron?
We talk about the energy that we can harness from it, though.
Yes. That's... So how does this literal astrology tie in, Aaron? Please let us.
I'm making eclipse water for it, right? We're talking about major polarities. It's happening in the sign of Aries. We're in Mercury retrograde right now. We've been in retrograde for the past 3 days.
That's
It's also going to be a full moon in Aries, a full moon in Aries. It's going to be a great time for release, but a great time for balance. I'm making eclipse water. I'm putting in a lot of crystals. It'll be very charging if we can all harness the energy and make our own eclipse water.
Well, how does one make eclipse water?
You get a fucking jar and you put shit in it, preferably water. I'm also putting Nag Champa in there because, okay, think about an eclipse, right? It's the sun and the moon meeting. Well, water and oil are the sun and the moon. They don't mix, but I'm forcing them to mix in the same jar. And then I'm putting lavender, I'm putting black obsidian, and I'm putting clear quartz, which is sun and moon. And I'm putting them all in the jar. And it'll be great for, like, I can cleanse with it. I can put it in my coffee for extra energy. I can clean. I can, when people are fucking pissing me off and really negative, I can, like, poison them with it a little bit.
I don't know if you need poison energy out there. If you're listening, eclipse watchers, do not create moon poison.
It's not moon poison, it's eclipse water. And it's
yes, positive eclipse water only. No moon poisons or sun poisons. But...
And I'm batshit. I'm, like, getting crazier by the day.
I'm also excited for Monday. It's Raw after WrestleMania. I think some cool stuff's going to happen. I won't be looking at the sky. I'll be at work, though.
So, you know that celebrity JoJo Siwa? Is that how you pronounce it?
JoJo? Yeah.
It is how you pronounce that.
I forgot about
it. I know where this is going.
Oh, you're about to remember her again if we see an image. Forever.
What's going on with JoJo Siwa, right? I guess she is going through an identity crisis. She's becoming a bad girl. Tell me what's going on with JoJo as I pull up some JoJo Siwa goes crazy on Google.
I don't know if I want to call it crazy. I'll start.
Just wacky.
Yeah, because it is wacky and it is crazy. I don't know if I want to call it crazy, but it is. But I don't know. Like, a lot of celebrities try and shed their, like, childhood persona when they were kids, when they were famous, like famous kids. Try and shed that persona to, like,
look at, you know, my
they go kind of far out to, like, make sure that that is totally gone, and then they come back to, like, a little bit more of, like, a reasonable spot. I mean, look at, like, Justin Bieber was the example I was gonna use. You know, he bought that monkey, he was visiting brothels, he crashed his car, got hammered, like, you know, he got after it when he got to turn like 20. And now he's back into a far more normal spot. Miley Cyrus is another one who, like, kind of went a little bit too far, you know, and then came back center. And so I think this is just a very public...
She's trying to go bad?
Yes, a very public bad, like, image shift to shake off, like, the, you know, the little girl with the pigtail and, like,
oh my
the
goodness,
show that she's
these videos
to
are showing. I don't know if I show them. I don't want to get
no,
flagged. I legit think we could get flagged.
Just do
she's like
picture.
Dressed up as Gene Simmons licking, yeah.
I would just do the picture of it, like a still image of her not licking anything. But
yeah,
that should give you a taste of what was happening at this event.
All right, here it is. Right here's JoJo, some pictures. Right here, she's turned it to Gene Simmons, I guess.
I feel so bad for the hairline just because of the ponytail she had to wear for her image for so long.
I know.
I'm like, I was a dancer.
What happened? What happened to JoJo?
Yeah, I was a gymnast, and my mom used to braid my hair back so tight for competitions so that we wouldn't have to, like, wash or do our hair for, like, the 4 days we were there, and it just pulled my whole hairline back.
Feel it, like, hurting, you know?
What yeah.
I guess this was
pull
for
your
the
eyes back.
She showed up this appearance at the iHeart Radio Music Awards.
Yes. And
she's just, listen, I don't mind you changing your image, turning heel, going bad, but you can't look like a dumb idiot with this. I'm sorry.
Hey, Gene Simmons defended her and said she looked cool, and anyone who's hating on her is just jealous.
I'm not jealous by somebody named JoJo.
Gene disagrees. I will say this though, Matt. I don't fully agree, but I agree to some a little bit, because all those other kind of like bad, you know, those Breaking Bad moments from like child stars, yeah, right?
Like
they
like
were a little
Miley Cyrus twerking on
right.
What's his
they
name?
A
led
little
to a divorce.
More, right, they're a little more serious, and I don't. That's not necessarily a good thing, by the way, but this felt a little too campy.
Yeah,
this almost felt like she hadn't actually changed at all. She just dressed like she had. You know what I mean? Like, because her old persona, her old outfits were still very over the top. They were just, you know, rainbow and like the pigtail and like sparkly. So this was still that, just black
and white.
And gray and white. Yeah. So that was the part that I didn't get. I was like, if this is a meant to be like a change in, you know, whatever, it didn't actually really do that. It felt very JoJo Siwa. Just it looked like it aesthetically looked different, but it felt very on brand. And so I feel like that was weird to me.
Yeah, I feel like I'm like give her 5 years to marinate, and then I feel like she's gonna be like serving some really cool looks. Just let her stew for like 5 years, and then we'll see where she's at.
Own the craft.
I'll let her cook.
Yeah, let her cook a little bit.
I feel like it's probably better though, like a good thing for her, like as a person, that it's not like a Molly problem, you know.
That's
yeah,
what I'm saying.
It's good. She's not like crashing cars doing drugs. She's just dressing and like dancing and being a little quirky,
which is nice. I'm glad, you know. Like I feel like we're like a society, or like the human population in general, we're people that like feed off of people doing terribly, right? Like everyone who's on Miley for whatever the fuck, but like everybody fed into it. Everybody loved to hate her. It's nice to, you know, she's playing the market without losing herself. It's nice.
Yeah. My question is, what fundamentally changes about the fact that JoJo Siwa doesn't have a ton of non-dancing marketable skills for entertainment? I mean, we've heard
the
music.
Could go at the county fair and sign autographs.
Right. Well, no, but I'm being serious. Like,
well, you know,
her music didn't take off. Her acting didn't take off. So, you know, we got the new look. Where does it lead?
I mean, she might just like stay an influencer, honestly. Like, I could see her just taking that path, because enough people like her. She's almost a household name at this point for especially a lot of younger people. She could honestly just bank off of how much people know her.
All right.
You know, I feel like girl has a platform, and maybe, you know, the market's asking her to like hone in on the fact that she is a dancer, because I feel like actually dancing can go a lot further than acting or music can.
Sure, if done correctly, yeah.
Yeah, if done correctly, because you can grow into that, and like, because I've been dancing my whole life, and now I've been able to kind of take it and move it into like an adult way of dancing. Like, I'm really into like a bohemian like belly dancing. It's kind of what I do now. Or like I could probably grab a pole if I really wanted. But like there's a way to really move a real creativity like into that, and there's a timelessness to it too. Like it's almost like a paradox, because it's your physical body. You think that like it would, you know, decrease over time, and technically it does, but like there's so much room for expression in dance that isn't really there in acting or singing, because it is your face that'll get shown. I don't know where I'm going with this, but I don't know.
I see what you're saying. Dancing is a timeless activity. It's been happening forever.
Yeah, there's a soul to it.
Hey, well, JoJo, you got my support. All right.
And Gene Simmons.
Yep, whatever. So there's two Netflix shows that have gained a lot of popularity lately in their second seasons. Has anyone heard of the show Buying Beverly Hills, or is it Cake?
Not that
one. What do we think about these two shows on the rise?
Buying Beverly Hills. I am addicted. It's very hard for me to like get into a reality show nowadays, like, and like stick with it. But for whatever reason, I'm like so obsessed with this show. And thank you for talking about it. It's about like this team. Well, so basically it's about real estate in Los Angeles, and watching it is like actually really cool because they can make like hundreds of thousands of dollars off selling one home if you do it. And it's about like a family, the Umansky team is like what they're called. And like the mom is Kyle Richards, and the dad is like, yeah, Kyle Richards is like a Beverly Hills housewife, and the dad is like some dude that like is really good at being a salesman from like Mexico. He was like dirt poor. And then like now they're making fucking millions living in LA, and their daughters are in on it. Like they have like a big family, and now it's like a family business. But they make bank, and it's so cool because I'm like, I should do real estate. But for whatever reason, it's very addicting, and I feel like people should get on that because it's really inspiring. And even if not, like you're touring houses all day, and like I wish I could be that rich where like my bathtub were like the size of my living room. And
Be rich and good looking, and you could go a
exactly.
long way in selling houses.
I have not seen this particular one. It sounds very similar, but maybe a little bit more real, to a Selling Sunset.
Yeah, like the characters on here are like actually like you're viewing them
Likeable.
family. Yeah, they're very like, yeah. Because I remember watching like the first two episodes of Selling Sunset, and I was
Love
like,
that show.
okay, whatever. Like,
Love that show. Everyone on it is bad, but I love that
what about the cake though, and buying the cakes? Is it the same thing?
show.
Do they have the
That's
same?
absolutely right. So they're all in Los Angeles, and there's this family, and but the cake show, it's on its third season. Basically, a bunch of very good cake bakers are in a competition, and they have to make these lifelike cakes of like other objects. So they got to make I saw one where they had to do like cool toys. So someone made like flip-flops, and someone made like an inflatable little donut ring thing, those rings for your pool. And then the judges, C-list comedians, come and try and figure out what's cake and what's not cake. And if you trick them, you move on. And if you don't, you have to do like a bake-off to not get eliminated. But again, it's kind of fun. It's good fun. It's wholesome. Just a show about cake. But I like it. My wife loves it. We thought it'd be more like the show Nailed It, which is no longer on. It was not like Nailed It. But it's got character, so we'll see what they do. They're on their third season, so someone really likes the cake show. But
It's like that where like I'll get big dick energy. I'll be like, I can make a cake like that, and then I'll spend my Sunday trying to make a cake like that, and then my kids
that's what made Nailed It so fun, because they tried
right.
they were people who could not bake, who had to try and make a cake like that. And
Oh,
they never did. That's possibly one of the funniest cookie shows I've ever seen. So it's not quite Nailed It level, but it's a
do
good
you
show.
think Is It Cake might take over the Great British Bake Off as the
No.
show on Netflix for baking?
No. One, because I'll be honest, I don't find myself wanting to eat all of the cakes on Is It Cake, because they're shaped like, shoes. Whereas the Great British, baking show is th that's good food. Also, it's the host is not that good. I like Mikey Day in SNL, actually. I think he's one of the more talented individuals on that like current roster of talent, but I don't love him as the host. I don't think he's that funny. I don't think he's that charming as the host either. So me personally, I think that alone would keep it from taking off. But also, I think people like to recognize what they're eating as food when they're watching a cooking show. And the whole point of this is not to recognize that it's food.
Like those type of cakes could go up to like $1,000 for,
Oh, yeah.
whoever's a sucker who wants to get a cake that looks like an iMac.
Well, yeah, or like what, a kite? Like one person made a kite that was hanging. Like, it's impressive, but like I don't, what is the purpose of that cake?
Maybe we really don't have an inflation problem if people are really buying stuff on this. I'm serious. Like,
It's actually
you could
just the
get
kite
an
cakes.
amazing cake for like $10 the right bakery. Yeah, we're making cakes that have to represent a person, charging $1,500 that could, save somebody's month, get them out of of immense of, you know, pressing debt, but no, we gotta do that.
Our iRobot cake.
And if you ever like look at how much money, like if you ever like I'm too scared to, if you ever take your bank balance and you like really look at like everything you've spent in like even like a year, or like, okay, I looked at my how much I made on my tax return. I saw the number for like the whole year and I was like, I have negative $50 right now. Like that was like, oh my god, I'm the problem. Like I'm
the problem. You gotta make an Eclipse water cake.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yo, I'm very excited to talk about this. Somebody was able to make a top. Let's do another top 10 list. This top 10 list, again, I don't think anyone's going to get. So we're all music fans. We love our music, right? Mm-hmm. Somebody released Spotify's top 10 most streamed rock albums ever. Now, these top 10 are the most streamed rock albums. All of these have at least 7 billion streams or up. Can anyone try to guess?
We're not talking Panic at the Disco, right? Because I heard people try to put that in that category.
They are not in the top 10 list. No Panic at the Disco albums. This list, I will say, it's random. A mix of some classic rock and actually some recent rock albums. Definitely all of these bands are huge. And I would even go to say they're legendary bands, all of them. Before we start guessing, I will say, if you ask me, can you name the top 10, I probably wouldn't get it. And I'm not going to ask you to rank them because it's too hard. Mm-hmm. I don't even think you'll get number one. I really don't think anyone's going to get number one, no offense. Mm-hmm. But if you actually try to name some of these albums, it'll be impressive. You have to really think. I think what the reason why these albums, they definitely have singles that are very popular. I think that's a contributor to it. And you know, this is some of the top comments. Number one, here you can see the difference between famous and good. Another comment, it's funny how the streaming numbers of so many of these albums get propelled so high due to one single. Another one, this is basically, quote, how many big hits do you have in one album contest? Okay. So, very interesting. I'm planning to hear all these albums. That's one of the things we hear all year, the top 100 most streamed albums on Spotify. So try to guess. Tell me, what do you all think? Who do you think is in this list? We're just going to name the albums because you're not going to get the list.
Like, should we and the panel like take turns?
Oh, no, just throw out album names that you think out there.
I do not know a single album from anyone ever. Like I listen to like songs here and there. I
that's
do not
strange, Carl. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
You don't know any albums.
Album. No,
you don't
I do
know
not
an
know
album
one
name?
Album.
An air sign?
Pardon?
Are you an air sign?
I'm a Cancer.
Oh really?
Yeah.
And you don't like music?
I listen to a lot of music, but it's all just like taken from rent. Like I listen to everything. I've got like the most random playlist.
Just don't know the albums they come from.
I don't
all
know
right.
a single album. Nope.
Hey, no problem there. That's just a unique. I never heard that. You like name a album. Like you had Billy on the Street come to you. name an album. Woman. You couldn't name an album.
I cannot. Nope, not a single one.
Interesting. All right.
Okay. I'm going to throw one out. I think is going to be on this list. I'm going to start a little bit newer, but not too new. I'm going to say Nevermind Nirvana.
Actually, yeah, good one, Ryan. That's actually number two.
I was kind of hoping that was number one because you were like, no one's going to get it. I'm like, I bet you it's Nirvana. Okay. I'll keep
thinking. I'd be very surprised if I could guess number one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Literally just throw it out there.
American Idiot by Green Day. Is that on there?
No, not top 10.
Okay.
Mm,
not top 10.
What about Toxicity from System of a Down?
No, not there.
No, that needs to be. What do you mean?
I think that was a top 25. What if I remember?
Let me jump older.
Yeah.
No, but there's so many. All right, actually, no. Let me jump older. First, jump older. We're not quite as old as I was going to. Actually, it's called Jump, isn't it? Jump Van Halen. No, it's the song. What album?
The album's called 1984. But no, it's not there. No, it's, like, okay. That's the thing. These, all these albums definitely have an iconic single. I'll say that.
Yeah, well, okay. I bet you Van Halen's on there.
Metallica. No Van Halen. Actually, Metallica is there. Can you guess which
album, right?
Yes, that's number nine. The Black Album's number nine. You think, like, Enter Sandman and...
Yeah, that one makes sense.
Nothing Else Matters.
It's Fleetwood Mac on there.
They are. What? Fleetwood Mac?
No, it's the fucking, with the OG Rumors.
Yes, Rumors is there. Yeah. Rumors is number three. The album from 1971 is number three.
Wait, she has a phone. She's looking it up.
No, I'm not looking at it. I'm looking at my fucking goddamn Apple Music.
Wait, I can guess artists. Is Taylor Swift on there?
No, Taylor Swift. There is no Taylor Swift album that is on the top 10. How about that?
What about White Album? Beatles.
No.
Abbey Road by the Beatles.
No Beatles have made this list. No
legend. Legend.
Absolutely trash list then. Just
no, this is all based on fact. This is a fact based list.
I know. Still trash. Trash.
No, come on. No Legend by Bob Marley. It should be there. But they are. I agree. That should be.
That should be there.
Do we have the Chili Peppers?
Yes, we do.
Was it Stadia Arcadia?
No.
Which one is it?
Oh, no.
That was in the top 25.
Are the Gorillaz? Is there Gorillaz on there?
No Gorillaz.
Okay. It's either, By the Way, Californication, or Blood Sugar Sex Magik. Which one is it?
Californication's number 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck yeah. Look at me killing it right
now. You're doing well. I'm trying to think.
All right, we got 4 of the top 10.
I don't want to open my apps to look at albums because I have Spotify and I don't want any potential clues. I don't want any collusion.
I'm really excited about talking about number 1. Because I can see how it is.
You can see how it
is. Michael Jackson?
No Michael Jackson on the top 10. And I will say there's one group that's actually here twice. That's it.
Really?
And I'd be very surprised if you actually... I'm surprised if you get this.
Eminem? What do you mean?
No Eminem. Oh, and that's rap. Okay. This is rock, by the way.
This is only rock. Okay.
Is Breaking Benjamin on there? Or like any type of like has been dad rock?
See, Guns N' Roses?
Yes, Guns N' Roses, yes.
Yeah.
Can you guess which one?
No.
They only had 2 albums.
Yeah, I don't know.
Guns N' Roses, let me find it.
Appetite for Destruction is number 5. It's the 5th most streamed rock album on Spotify.
Oh, wait.
With 8.5 billion streams.
Arctic Monkeys?
Yeah. Which one?
That's not the album name, though.
I do not know any of their names.
All right, so
I know individual songs. I don't know
Arctic
albums.
Monkeys AM is the most streamed rock album at 9.7 billion.
That makes complete sense to me, bro. They're so they
songs
my
like
dad,
Call Me
my,
Why You High, Are You Mine?
My dad is like giga classic rock. Like that's all he listens to. He loves Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, people say they're like one of the last true breeds to sound like they come from the 70s or 80s.
Yeah,
and that
Do I Want to Know is probably the biggest one.
Right, yeah. And those are some of the huge, those singles are heavily streamed. And it's the best-selling vinyl record in the last decade. This album came out in 2013, a 2013 album.
Yeah, you know,
9.9 billion streams, and I think it's because of the singles like this.
You know, it's kind of funny. I actually didn't really like music that much until I want to say grade 8 when I was like 13, 14. And the song that made me like music was Do I Want to Know by the Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah, they were huge in the early 2010s, and I'd still think they could definitely still sell out arenas.
Oh, yeah.
You understand what you're telling me here. You're telling me that the Beatles is not outdoing the Beatles.
What is Gen Z listening to? And no, they're not listening to the Beatles. But the singles from it.
Mumble rap, yeah, exactly.
The singles. it's the singles.
Yeah, no, you're right.
A mixture of Gen Z and then nostalgic. So there are the last 4 are all definitely legendary, with one band having 2 albums here.
Okay, does Fleetwood Mac have 2 of them?
No.
Is it the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
No. We haven't named the band.
No, we've said it. Okay.
We haven't said it yet? Okay, is Sublime on there?
No Sublime.
Think I know this.
Think of early 2000s, very iconic early 2000s band.
3 Days Grace.
No.
Linkin Park?
Yes. Oh, yeah, Linkin Park has the two albums. Do you know which two?
Wait, let me see if I can remember. I'm blank.
So it's Meteora and Hybrid Theory at Hybrid six Theory, and yeah. four, respectfully.
Oh, I kind of did not get that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I religiously listened to them in high school.
Yeah, I was bigger than middle school. So two more left. I'll give you their British bands. Definitely very popular with two iconic singles on them.
Blink 182?
No. These are two, well, one's in the 90s and one's in the 2000s, the album.
Ash.
Did you say the Clash? No, not the Clash. 2000s.
But they're British.
The Who?
Wait, 90s and 2000. The Who 90s is British, but they're 70s.
They're the 70s. They're not yeah. there.
Okay. 70s and 60s.
Who's big in the 90s? I think in 90s first. And then we'll
this is definitely an iconic 90s band.
Yeah, that's why.
It's one of the most iconic songs you've ever heard.
Tell me
like when you pick up a guitar, you ask this person to play this song from Wonderwall? This album. Yeah.
Oh,
what's the band?
Oasis.
Band?
Oasis.
Wait, do you know the album that came off of? What's the story? Morning Glory. That's the number 10 most streamed album.
Okay.
Oasis is the number 10.
Yeah, that Wonderwall song, man.
Yeah, it's just Wonderwall a million times.
Well, actually, that album has a couple of other good ones on it too.
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorite albums. It's an amazing album.
And then you said there was one more, right?
One more. This is definitely one of the most popular bands. They played the Super Bowl. They've played the Super Bowl before.
Mm.
You might call Creed. This band very corny.
Creed.
Maroon 5.
Not Creed.
Can you take me?
No, two good guesses, but no, they didn't do that.
Oh, they played the Super Bowl, are corny.
Very wow, famous man. Very famous frontman.
In the 2000s.
Huh?
The album came out in the year 2000, if that helps.
Matt, you said they're from England?
Yes.
Okay. From England, we didn't list them yet.
Is
no,
it Coldplay?
No. It's Coldplay.
Oh, yeah.
What album?
I was just thinking that. I was like, is that even going to count as rock?
Matt, I just said that. And
did you really? If you did, I was genuinely didn't hear
you. I'm
sorry.
I didn't hear you either.
Coldplay's Parachutes is your seventh.
I wouldn't count them as rock. I'm surprised they're on the list.
Well, they are here, and it says the label they are rock.
So why wasn't Zeppelin put on there?
Because not enough Gen Z listened to them. But to go back, the top 10 is 10, What's the Story, Morning Glory, Oasis, Black Album, Metallica, Californication, The Chili Peppers, Parachutes by Coldplay, Meteora by Linkin Park, Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses, Hybrid Theory for Linkin Park, Rumors by Fleetwood Mac, Nevermind by Nirvana, and AM by the Arctic Monkeys.
Really bad list. Like,
that's
I love
a solid list.
Well, it's a list based on who
downloads, yeah.
So you have to be mad at Spotify listeners.
Sorry. TikTok's gonna be mad at us for not getting it right. I can feel it.
Are we talking
yeah,
about?
And I mean, like, maybe like lots of Gen Zers like Arctic Monkeys, but I mean, like, my dad is such an like old head and he loves them, so
oh yeah,
I gotta say something.
Yeah, again,
none of them feel totally out of place. I just there's definitely some people in your mind, if you were just making the list, you'd be like, oh, them. But none of them feel out of place on like a top list. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Like, I remember listening to Arctic Monkeys when I lived with my dad, and he came in my room and he looked at me really weird. And he's like, "You listen to Arctic Monkeys?" I was like, "How the fuck do you know who Arctic Monkeys is?"
Yeah, they would be a band for our generation.
I do think that Linkin Park getting on there twice, like, again, if this wasn't a by streams list, that would never happen.
Yeah, and this could just be these albums were also trendy one time. Like, Rumors had that guy with the silly, with the listening to one of the song, listening to one
on
of
the
songs.
Skateboard. Yeah,
yeah, that lyric is probably why it's on this list.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
We have
also Rumors is like a fucking OG album.
Oh, I mean, definitely. Yeah, but for the young kids,
they had a reason to watch, listen.
We had, unfortunately, with Linkin Park not too recently, the lead singer, Chester Bennington, did pass away. Probably led to a lot of streams at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Chili Pepper, Californication Chili Pepper is interesting. They do have some, Scar Tissue is very popular. The song Californication is popular.
That, no, I mean, they also have Other Side on there. Let me look at it.
Yeah. Parachutes by Coldplay, literally the song Yellow might have carried them.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
then you have the Black Album with, you know, very like Enter Sandman's very big in sports. Yep. And stuff.
Everyone plays that at all of their sporting events and tailgates. So that makes sense.
What's the story? Wonderwall, another reason, just Wonderwall with one song alone.
Just carry it.
But Hybrid Theory also has like In the End is big and Crawling and Meteora has stuff. Guns N' Roses too with Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine.
Well, that's a double feature. I'm surprised it was as low as it was. I could have seen that as a top three because it's got two songs.
And Nirvana at number two, you know, with like Teen Spirit and just that Nirvana aura.
It's just I think it's just the brand Nirvana is going to be popular.
And yeah, that pretty much breaks this down. Pretty interesting list, am I right?
Definitely interesting to see what the people are listening to.
Pretty solid one
for Spotify too. I don't know. Well, maybe we'll get an Apple list one of these days. But it is an interesting list if you want to check it out. If you were curious, number 100 was Leonard.
Leonard Skinner?
Yeah, Leonard Skinner's debut album. They're number 100. Like the Nirvana Unplugged album is 88. Riot, Pair of the Disco, 79. No, okay. Sorry, Paramore. I said Pair at the Disco.
Well, no, Paramore, because you said Riot.
Limp Bizkit's here, REM, Radiohead, AC/DC, just going through. Stadium Arcadium was 25, Ryan.
It's a great album.
It is, yeah.
Abbey Road's 20. That's the highest.
Right. So the Beatles made it.
For 20.
Thankfully they made it. I've been really mad if they make it at all.
So yeah. Hot Fuzz, Mr. Brightside didn't carry it to the top 10. It literally got to 11.
Ow. Not enough white people on Spotify.
Clearly not. By the way, that toxicity. I can't say that.
Toxicity?
That is actually 16.
It should be, yeah. It's a phenomenal album.
The Maroon 5 you referenced, Kevon, that song's from Jane. 18.
Yeah. Okay. That feels right. Maybe a little high.
What?
The Gorillaz was mentioned there. Their highest is 26 with Demon Days.
Yeah.
American Idiot made 27.
All right, hold on. You think that Maroon 5 should be above Green Day? Kevon, I want you to say it on camera. Speak clearly into the microphone.
This is a setup. This feels like a setup.
That's all I'm saying.
Sublime did get there at 53.
Obviously, I was playing that album earlier. It's really good.
Does the Neighborhood count as rock? Are they rock?
No, I wouldn't count that.
I wouldn't either, but...
I wouldn't count Coldplay, though. So.
Yeah. So
it says
what is...
here. It says here they are alternative rock, but also you would say... indie pop, dark pop.
Yeah, okay, that makes more sense.
I'm just glad that Greta Von Fleet didn't make the list, and if Greta Von Fleet had made the list and Zeppelin didn't, I would be a lot more upset.
So my mom loves Greta Von Fleet, not more than Zeppelin, but loves them. She calls them the call, like a callback to. She's so, every time she hears them, she's like, it sounds just like them. It's so good. So. I wouldn't be surprised, because they're a newer group, actually, if they did make the list, because they're newer. And they had the SNL performance that went viral with the twitching. So.
Yeah, Cage the Elephant's really underrated.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. I have, like, all of their music on my phone.
They're really good.
All right. So, you know, we were talking about Quiet on the Set last week. Talk about Drake Bell pretty much having a comeback now in the public eye after being honest. And this led me to another question. What celebrities who have disappeared, or if we want to say may have gotten canceled, what celebrities do you want to see back in the public eye making great work?
You know, it's funny because I don't want to see them back in the public eye, but I was thinking earlier, like, the name Mike the Situation popped into my head, and then
Mike
I was
the
like,
Situation. You want to see him coming back?
I'm rewatching Jersey Shore right now with my boyfriend because I showed him a few clips and he's like, no way. I'm like, this is the whole show, dude. We gotta watch this.
Let's have Mike the Situation come back and do a podcast.
Yeah, well, because I was thinking, like, where the fuck is Snooki now? And, like, where is that head? Is she still doing the
Cameo.
roof to, like, stay warm?
Yes, a
No
lot of these
kidding.
people could
She's on
be
Cameo.
cameos.
Yeah.
You
They'll
know who
probably
I
have, like, a
wish could
family
have,
by
like,
now.
a good positive comeback? What's her name? Amanda Bynes?
Oh, yes. That's the standard right there.
Lindsay Lohan's having a comeback. I mean, I know she's already been working on that, but she's been in like some Netflix movies. Like, she can't really get much right now, from what I can tell, because she was in a movie about like being Irish, which is like roles. But like, she's trying, you know, she's making
Yeah.
a comeback.
How about, I like that. That is a good one. And I love Lindsay Lohan. I think she could actually act. She's
Oh,
just had
yeah.
a raw deal.
I just want to see comebacks from like people who deserve it and were mistreated earlier in their career.
Amanda Bynes,
Yeah,
exactly.
I
definitely.
can't think
Amanda
of
Bynes is a
anyone.
standard for
I can't
that.
think of anyone who
Jeanette
was in
McCurdy.
a
Oh.
scandal.
Yeah.
Well, then who's not in a scandal you want to see come back? Because that's like that counts too in this.
Yeah, I mean, not in a scandal, like Kara said, just people who didn't get the.
Michelle Trachtenberg. If she's look,
Who's
I would
that?
go pay for her. Like Michelle Trachtenberg. Do you remember her?
No.
Oh, yes,
That's
I
a
do. Hold up, wait. She's like an iconic
Yeah, she was an ice princess. She was in a lot of shit. She was in Gossip Girl. She just like she technically like acts now still, but like
Oh wait, this is someone different.
oh, she's
Sorry. Wait, yeah,
wait for her.
she was Harriet the Spy, if you've seen that.
Yeah.
I've not.
She's all right, here we go. I guess it'd be better
Oh,
to
okay.
write
I know that.
90s.
I think I know that face though.
Yeah,
What about
exactly.
she?
She has an iconic early like 2000s face. Here we go. Let me share the screen.
Inspector Gadget.
Yeah, we do need her to come back. Michelle Trachtenberg. It's time for
Trachtenberg.
you to be a big star again. See, so you remember
I
her
miss
again.
faces before like fillers and like plastic surgery was like super common.
Yeah.
Everyone looked more unique.
Yeah, like
Oh man, some people look god awful with it.
Courtney Cox, like how she changed, like before, like you could see it in Friends. Like she had her face, and then by like season 4-ish, she was like a different.
Different
Yeah,
face. Have
like
you seen Faye
so, like so
Dunaway's
many
face?
chicks. I've seen so many chicks who have like bigger noses, and they get like a little button nose, but it just doesn't suit their face that well, and they just look completely different.
Ashley Tisdale, it worked for her. She needed that nose job.
Yeah,
Wait, she got a
some
nose job?
people. Yeah. I think there's like a good medium of like work that like people can get done while still looking like themselves and having their face, but
My friend got a nose job, and like I never believed in it until she got it, because she had such a sharp nose, and she didn't do that, but she still wanted her face, but she wanted it to not be so like pointy and sharp. As
I have
now.
a pointy nose.
Yeah, actually, she made her similar to yours because she had a similar shape, but she kind of
Yeah.
like a little bit more of like a curve on top.
Yeah, back when I was like very self-conscious about my nose, and like I lived near Vancouver, I actually had a consultation with a plastic surgeon. Just like I wasn't gonna do it, I was just curious kind of thing. And I saw two different ones. One of them was just focused on like how small they could get my nose, and then the other one was like, we don't have to do like anything to get what you want. Like we could just put a little something here and like do a little something to your tip, and then it would even out your face better. And I
So
was like, that sounds much better to me.
you
Don't need that though. Your face is
Oh yeah,
very
no.
yeah,
I'm
you
good now, but I think little
Mm-hmm.
changes like can do a lot more than the big changes that you're just risking, like losing the whole like vibe of your face.
Yeah, same here. Do we also want to see somebody like, I don't know. Jeez, I just had you know who needs to make a comeback? Josh Hartnett. Anyone know who Josh Hartnett is? Kind of made a comeback at
No.
Oppenheimer. But
Wasn't
what about
he
Cameron Diaz?
Yeah, Cameron Diaz. I like Cameron Diaz. Everyone has ever seen the movie Night and Day, starring Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I've seen that actually.
That's a
She needs to come
fun
back.
movie. Macaulay Culkin. I want him to do stuff again.
He's like,
Okay, I
I
guess.
have a bad vibe attached to him. Did something happen with him in the past?
I think he just went crazy. I think not crazy. I think he just
Oh,
went
depends on who
strange.
you ask.
Is he still dating Brenda Song?
They're
Yeah, I
married.
believe they have a child
Oh,
together. Yeah.
what? What the fuck? Yeah, I did not married. Know that.
She should come back.
Well, hold on, Matt.
Brenda Song? Brenda Song was one of the lead voice actors in Blue Eye Samurai.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she did really good.
The McCulkins brothers, now that Kieran's famous, you want to see them do something together? I think that'd be fun. I want that.
Nope. Kieran's good. I like Kieran by himself. How about Freddie Prinze, though? Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Who's gonna save wrestling for a minute and then he stopped? So I know him very well.
What about Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Do you know who that is?
What about the actor that played Steve Urkel?
Oh, Jaleel White?
Yeah.
Actually, I think Jaleel White is almost exactly at the level of fame that he should be right now. Like, maybe a little bit more famous, right? Because I do like him. But, like, he'll just appear in, like, a random music video. Like, the funniest thing that has ever happened was when I was the song Cry Baby by CeeLo Green. It was hammered into my head when I used to work at Marshall's. They played that thing constantly. So finally, one day, I was like, I have to see, like, this music video. I have to hear this song outside of my work environment. So I turn on the music video, and CeeLo Green is not in the music video. Jaleel White plays CeeLo Green, and they do a whole thing in the beginning. And this, you know, he's breaking up with this girl, and she's like, "No, I can change." He goes, "Shh, I'm CeeLo Green." And then the whole music video starts, and he lip syncs the entire thing. It says as like Jaleel White star as CeeLo Green. And since then, I'm like, if he was famous, he couldn't do that. You know what I mean? You have to be a certain level of famous for that to work. And so I think he's at the right level of famous where he could show up anywhere, and it would be really fun. But he's not like so famous that you can't get him to do funny things, but he's not so obscure that no one knows what's going on. You know what I mean? I think he's in that sweet spot personally, but I'm sure he would love to make a lot more money. So I'm sure he would disagree with me.
About two more names, I think. Johnny Depp, after everything that went down, if he could be a big box star again.
He's pretty famous still, I think.
No, I need him.
But he hasn't been in anything in a long time. He needs like his comeback role. You know, Brendan Fraser has the whale. Stuff like that.
I know there's a lot still attached to Johnny Depp. I know,
but he's not. I'm saying name his last movie.
No, I'm saying
exactly.
The court of law exonerated him, but there's still like a thing attached. Like, I don't know that he'll ever be a box office star again.
Oh, okay.
Like, yeah, no, you're right. He hasn't done anything in a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I see. Like he's literal capability.
I have to disagree with that, Brian.
I mean, maybe I'm not his agent, but I just feel like there's still enough like people who are kind of iffy on him that it'd be really hard to base a movie around him. Like he could be a big role in a movie, but you got to have like Timothée Chalamet in it or something like to get people to go see it and like give him a surprise.
It was announced he's doing a movie with Sydney Sweeney, and I'm not kidding.
That'll work. Oh no, a lot of people still love him. I'm saying I feel like there's still a contingent of people who don't. And I think that might hurt a movie. But Sydney Sweeney being there will help.
When in doubt, Sydney helps.
Yes. Well, that's actually a great pairing because I feel like what they would be doing is they would be adding longevity to Sydney Sweeney's career and then like taking stress off of Johnny Depp's career in a way. Mm-hmm. Like they would like balance each other out really well.
Yeah, no, that's a good pairing. I agree.
Yeah.
And the last one, a Canadian legend like Kara, Rick Moranis. He hasn't had a role. You don't know who that is? You should be ashamed of yourself.
I don't either.
Where do you see this hypothetical Rick Moranis comeback happening?
Well, that's the point. You get the role.
He was in Spaceballs.
This guy. Look right here. Yeah. How can you?
I recognize the face. I didn't. I don't know names. I know faces.
Yeah, he has an iconic face. Look at this.
He's Ghostbusters. Yes, he's the villain in Spaceballs. Now, I know who Rick Moranis is. Little Shop of Horrors. Not knowing him. It's just me not seeing what role in 2024 Rick Moranis.
Yeah, because I feel like he really suited like the goofy like slapstick like. Movies that you watch when you want something on in the background kind of deal doesn't really get made that much anymore. Yeah.
He was well, that's where the exactly writing the comes right in a TV show. Well, he left because he went to his, not to get bleak, but his wife died early. Mm-hmm. So he went to take care of his kids, but that was decades ago. And just the right role will help him. I know he briefly did a commercial in Canada for like a famous, mobile brand for Canada with Ryan Reynolds, who brought him in, and Ryan Reynolds said it was one of the happiest moments of his career to get him out. And that's all he did was the cameo. But with the right writing, you get him to get in. Like,
Matt.
For instance, Joe Pesci came back out of retirement after The Irishman to do a Pete Davidson show.
Have you seen episodes? It was on Showtime starring Matt LeBlanc.
I've never seen the show, but I know what you're talking about.
So the premise, of course, is that Matt LeBlanc plays himself. A show in which Rick Moranis is trying to relaunch his career through a TV show, and he plays Rick Moranis.
That already happened.
No, I said that could work. That's where it works.
Oh, I see. I thought you said he was in.
No, he wasn't. I'm saying he doesn't look like a movie star, so they're not going to hire him to be in anything.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I hate.
Right. If he plays Rick Moranis, then
I hate that back in the 90s, 2000s, like people could be unattractive and be a famous movie star. Like that just doesn't really happen that much anymore. Like you have like pretty people that are just supposed to be ugly, like in movies, and it just doesn't make any sense.
You're right. You're right.
You know what Moranis looks like?
No, it's different in some cases because Tom Holland, I believe, in one of his interviews, he said the guy that auditioned before him, they said he looked too good to be Peter Parker or Spider-Man.
Yeah, but like he's still conventionally attractive. Yeah. Like I'm thinking, like someone who's not conventionally attractive becoming a big movie star isn't really common the way that it used to be.
You're 100%
right. Who out-hunked Tom Holland? I don't know who that guy
is. I am curious.
Wait, Aaron, you said like who's Timothy Rick Chalamet, Moranis behind you?
Just like an ADHD thought. Like, Rick Moranis looks like Stephen Hawking if he weren't, like...
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah.
So, like, Eddie Redmayne with glasses.
But Eddie Redmayne was conventionally attractive.
Who is that?
No, I'm saying... He actually looked like Stephen Hawking, and obviously after his condition, he looked like that. It'd be like that. But I know what you're saying, Carr. I think you're actually spot on. It's hard to get a normal looking person to be a movie star nowadays.
It's hard to like suspend my like disbelief when I'm watching a show and they're supposed to be just everyday people like having a romance, and I'm like, bro, everyone in this show looks like a supermodel. Like,
you know, I feel though like a lot of people aren't as attractive as you think they are. They just have, you know, skincare or makeup or like work.
That is true.
I've seen so many people that I'm like, if you didn't go to the gym 5 times a week, you'd probably have no sex. Like you're so ugly. Like if your hair weren't long and you didn't like go to Sephora every week, like you would be the ugliest person I ever met. Yeah.
I'm me. All right, final question for today. Let me just simply ask. All right, who do you think is going to win, Cody or Roman Reigns? Ryan, you answer last. Kevon, who's winning, Cody or Roman Reigns?
I'm going to Roman, man. The Roman.
All right, Kara, who's winning, Cody or Roman Reigns?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Aaron, who do you think is going to win, Cody or Roman Reigns?
Pro sports.
And Ryan, right. Who's going to win?
Cody Rhodes is going to finish the story. And you, dear listener, can follow us on Sunday night right after WrestleMania as we cover the entire both nights, Saturday and Sunday. We're not going to be on Saturday. We're going to be on Sunday. I'll be tweeting through the entire thing. I'll probably have some articles up on Saturday night in particular, but not on Sunday. Because on Sunday, I will be here. It'll be me, it'll be Matt, it'll be Jose. We're going to run through how right my predictions are. And how happy we all are collectively for Cody to finally, after years, finish the story.
This is going to be big. It is. It might be one of the biggest. We all know the two biggest stories of the tweet cap for 2024 is our election and then Cody. So everything
I will be in all black and in mourning if I'm wrong about this. And
you'll also be disappointed when Cody loses.
No idea. That. If he loses, definitely listen to the episode. I'll just say that.
Oh, man. Good stuff. Well, I just had to bring that up. But seriously, great show from everyone tonight. Great work, Cara, Aaron, Ryan, and Kevon. And I'll see you all really soon. Excellent work.
Thanks,
I had a lot of fun. I hope you did, too.
See ya.